Welcome to the Organize 365 podcast. My name is Lisa Woodruff, and I'm a professional organizer and blogger in Cincinnati, Ohio. I want to help you get your home organized and help you organize life stages and unexpected events. So sit back, relax, and let's get organized. Oh my goodness. Can you believe we are on episode 200? I can't believe it. I have kind of a fun treat for you today. This morning, well, at least it's morning where I am, I'm on my way to the airport. It's 5:30 in the morning, and I thought I would just talk to you while I was on my way there. So you might hear my turn signal right now. Episode 200. I've been thinking a long time about what I would put on episode 200, what I really wanted to tell you about. And what I really want to tell you about is paper. Do not turn the podcast off. This is going to be a good episode. Did you know that the Organize 365 podcast last week passed 2 million downloads? 2 million. 2 million podcast episodes of the Organize 365 podcast have been listened to. And here's how you guys tell me you're doing this. You find the podcast, you scroll back to the beginning, you listen from 1 to now 200. And on the Sunday Basket workshop class I had last night, the virtual class, someone said, I'm all caught up now, so I don't get to listen to you every day. You need to record more podcasts. Oh, if I could just record them and that's all I had to do, I would. I would record them every day. I would just hand the microphone off and then everything else would magically happen. But I don't live in La La Land yet, but I do love talking to you. So I have a fun announcement. Starting January 1st, I'm going to have a second podcast. I bet you can guess what it's called. Have I told you already on the podcast? I'm very bad at keeping secrets, so I've been telling people. It's going to be called The Sunday Basket. I know, such a novel concept. But I am having this strong desire to talk more and more and more about paper organizing, and I know not everyone's that excited about paper organizing. So I'm going to move that over into its own podcast, and it's going to be called The Sunday Basket. Because I could talk about paper organizing on and on and on and on and on. And if I have a podcast that's totally devoted to the Sunday Basket and all of the other paper that's in household, then I could continue to record podcasts like this on Organize 365, just about my philosophy around organization and what's happening in your mindset and other fun organizational predicaments we get into. And productivity. I love talking about productivity. I'm so proud of you. Did you know I'm so proud of you? So many of you have downloaded the How to Plan Your Day, how to schedule your day. You're doing morning, afternoon, evening routines. You're really following the podcasts that have been put out in September and October. And if you haven't downloaded it yet, don't worry, I just made it better. So now that all five of the podcasts are recorded that I wanted to record, I actually put a page on front of that printable. If you've already gotten that printable, you might want to go download it again, an instruction page that lists out the five podcasts I recorded, why you want to have a morning, afternoon, evening routine, how to plan your week, how to have a schedule, how to set goals, good, better, best goals. So the printable that was 4 pages long is now 5 or 6 pages, I can't remember. You download it by going to organize365.com/plan. I really think the longer you listen to me on Organize 365, and we have these chats together in the car or wherever you are, I'm in the car, it's really changing your mindset, not only about how to organize your space or even time or your calendars or how to organize your paper. What I hope is happening and what I see happening and what I'm so excited about happening is you are changing your expectations on what you expect from yourself and what you know you're capable of. And if you really put your mind to it, you can do it. We get so bogged down with the everyday laundry, dishes, cleaning, making an income, taking care of our family, and just trying to get 5 minutes to ourselves to scroll through Facebook, that our days pass in the blink of an eye. But hopefully, if you've started implementing some of the organizational strategies I've taught you, or even just listened to the podcast, you're thinking about your space differently. You're thinking about your days differently. Okay, so let's get into the meat of this podcast, because today I have a limit to the amount of time I could talk to you because I'm going to end up at the airport and I'm going to have to stop talking to you. Not that it's going to stop me. You're going to see me on Facebook Live in the airport. I clearly have no shame I could just talk anywhere, apparently. I want to talk to you about paper. And really, I want you to go over to organize365.com if you're listening to this when the podcast comes out or the week after, and take my paper survey. So just go to the front homepage, organize365.com. There'll be a button right at the top that says take the household paper survey. It's not going to take you a long time. Of course, it's not going to take 1 minute either. You know me. It's going to take maybe 5 minutes. If you have 5 minutes, you can give me. I would love it. Because I'm going to ask you about the kind of paper that's in your house. So let me tell you what I think is in your house. And also, I'm going to tell you what's coming. There is a paper tsunami coming to hit us in the face. And we need to be ready for this. So let me tell you why I think this is going to happen. First of all, I've talked already about how each generation looks at any organization differently. So Gen Z is in grade school and high school right now. And the new alpha generation is just now being born. So Gen Z is pretty much everyone 18 and under is Gen Z. And then millennials is everyone ages like 19 or 20 until almost 37, 38. Now, I'm going to stop right here because now when I start to define generations, millennials get mad at me. And they're like, I'm not a millennial. I'm on the cusp of millennial. I'm not a millennial. I'm like, how old are you? They're like 32. I'm like, you're a millennial. It's not a bad thing. Like, being identified with a generation is not a bad thing. And I'm here to say I love millennials. Okay? I'm proud of it. I love millennials. Whatever generation you're part of, it's just an age grouping that tells you what life experiences you have and, you know, how old you were when you first encountered technology. It's not a judgment. Leave that to the media. Don't take that from me. So if you're in your 20s and your 30s, you're probably a millennial. If you're in your 40s and 50s, you're probably Gen X. And if you're in your late 50s, 60s, I don't even think it hits early 70s, our baby boomers. Baby boomers, you're really young still. And everyone that is born 1946 to 1964, that is a baby boomer. So 1945 and earlier, you're actually the silent generation. The silent generation is the generation my grandmother was, and they were born after the greatest generation. So the greatest generation, there are very few of them alive. They would be over 100 now, and they were in World War I. And then they were in World War I, but they weren't born during World War I. The silent generation that is currently like 70-ish plus or 75 plus, they were born in that trough in between the two wars, and they were the Depression era babies. They actually had a pretty good life, although they were raised during the Depression. But the more I researched the silent generation, they had a lot of neat things that happened to them because they were born during the Great Depression. There weren't as many of them, kind of like Gen X. There aren't a lot of us either in our generation. And they had some unique advantages in that all of the public schools had been built up during the 20s and 30s, and World War I happened. And so the class sizes were really small for them. They got a lot of adult interaction and adult attention. And they were just silent. Like, you didn't read a lot about what their generation did, just like you don't read a lot or hear a lot about, or Generation X is really not marketed to. I heard a statistic recently that now there are more millennials in the workplace than there are baby boomers. Notice they don't care. The Gen X, we're here. All of us 40 and, you know, early 50-year-olds, we're in here working. Hello, Gen X, we exist. So it could be worse, millennials. They could not even pretend you exist. That's what happens to Gen X. All right, I got a little sidetracked. You know how I do. When we understand our generation, this is going to help us understand paper better. What happens is when you're a kid, you don't have a lot of paper, and if you have the paper, your parents take care of it. And currently, for millennials that are 20 and 30s, they don't have paper. Like, it boggles my mind. How do you not have paper? And now, Over in the Facebook group, if you know, somebody posted a question, how do you reconcile your checkbook? Everybody says they don't even reconcile one. It's been 3 weeks and my head is still spinning. How can you guys not be reconciling a checkbook? Come to find out, nobody's writing checks and very few people use their ATM card, which is what Greg and I use. But I'm still trying to process the fact that the majority of people are not putting receipts in a checkbook every weekend like I am and spending I literally spend 30 to 45 minutes a week just reconciling all of our transactions and moving all the money around. We might shop too much. So I, as a Gen X person who was taught to balance their checkbook in high school, cannot comprehend that pretty much everybody's not balancing a checkbook, not just my generation. So when I talk to millennials about organizing paper, they go, I don't have any. What do you mean you don't have any? I don't have any. You don't have any paper? None. Do you have a birth certificate? Oh, yeah, well, I have that. And it's not going to hit you until you have kids. I guess if you stay in corporate America, or I just still can't comprehend how you don't have paper. But I can understand that you don't have paper that is weighing on you yet. Like, the amount of paper you have is manageable. Gen X, we were brought up with paper. Like, we didn't have Pinterest, so we cut things out of magazines and we put them in notebooks. That was Pinterest. So we understand paper. And our kids have gone through school or are in school, and so we're inundated with school paperwork. But we don't have a lot of paper in our filing cabinets. I mean, we do have filing cabinets because we saw our parents set up filing cabinets. We have tax returns. But for the most part, our filing cabinets were created out of habit and that we saw our parents had one. But not out of, oh, I have all this paper, I think I should make a filing cabinet out of it. So we have filing cabinets, we have a lot of kids' paperwork, we have daily paperwork, but we don't have a lot of archival paper. Now here's where the paper tsunami is coming. It is with the silent generation and the baby boomers. These generations set up filing cabinets and they knew how to use them because for the most part, the silent generation, when they were employed in secretarial positions. I feel guilty saying this. I don't know why. But they were the ones that created these filing cabinets because there weren't computers. And so they would literally type things up on a typewriter. That's what I did at Grandma's house, is I got to play in her typewriter. And they would print things out and they would put them in files. Now, here's the unique thing about the silent generation. This is the generation older than the baby boomers. They knew how to get things back out of files. I think that art was lost with them. They could create the document, they could create the filing system, and they could retrieve things from the filing system. Then what happened was computers did come along. And so we still file things, corporations still file things that they will never go get out of files because they get them online. But they still have these archival file systems in case, I don't know, all computers go away everywhere? Why do I have a filing system? I think we are still doing this habitual action, but our habits have completely, totally changed. So back when I was taught to make my check register, people, balance my checkbook. You know why we balanced our checkbook? Was because the bank could make an error. And if the bank made an error, I could take my check register up to the bank and tell them about it and they could fix it. If you think that's going to happen today, oh boy. We have a lot more podcasts to record. It is not going to happen today. The bank is not going to change your bank balance because you balanced your checkbook. But in the 80s, like, you could make a case for that. So that is how I was raised, because I saw the baby boomers and the silent generation balancing checkbooks, making filing cabinets, and in my grandma's case, pulling things back out of the filing cabinets and using them. She was very, very organized. Along the way, our filing cabinets became a habit and not usually a resource. So on the podcast again last night, or the Sunday Basket virtual workshop that I had, there was another lady on there and she's been going through all of her files. I think she said she had like 25 plastic tubs full of files and she's going through a tub a day because she broke her leg. She can't go anywhere. She has to go through her tubs of paper. And I said to her, oh, good, I can't wait to have you answer this question because I know what I know to be true in my professional organizing, but tell me, what percentage of the papers in those tubs are you shredding? She thought for a minute and she said, 95%. I was like, wow, we recycle 80%. I can't believe you recycled 95%. She's like, yeah, I don't need any of this stuff. She did need the stock certificates in order to get paid out from the company that she bought stock from in, I think, the 70s or 80s. But she didn't need all the other paperwork. Like, the majority of stuff, I'm going to say 80% of what's in your filing cabinet right now is shreddable. We put it down there and we never go back and get it. Now, that's nice. Okay, Lisa, I really don't want to go down and shred 80% of my filing cabinet. I know. I totally know. You know who else doesn't want to do that? Everyone in the baby boom generation and the silent generation. Ha ha! So, one of these days, these files are going to have to be gone through, and they're going to have to be shredded, and someone's going to have to do it. And I'm just telling you, you may not have to do it with your own files, but you're probably going to have to do it with your parents' and your grandparents' files, because they don't want to do it either. So I was working with a client a couple of years ago. She called me a year after her husband had passed away, and she said she needed help going through the paper, which did not surprise me. It is the thing that happens when people fall and get hurt or pass away. It is the last thing you want to deal with is the paper. But she had to deal with the paper because she had to settle the estate, and she had to move different monies into her name out of her husband's name in order to settle the estate and to start making a draw from all of the great investments that he had made for her. I was like, okay, no problem. I'll be over whatever day. So I showed up. Her husband was so organized. I mean, he was so organized that he had 80 2 to 3 inch binders full of organized paper. He had kept every single statement from every single mutual fund, stock market, everything that he had purchased, and organized it in binders. Not only that, he had tracked on the front the up and down track of each stock and each stock within his mutual fund, which I'm telling you, that's a full-time job right there, all the way through, 80 binders full. And then we had files to go through. This took a summer. It took a summer to get through all of the paper. Paper was obviously his passion project, and tracking his money in the stock market and the investments that he made and the nest egg he was making for his wife to take care of her for the rest of her life was a passion of his. It was awesome. But when he passed, we had to go through all of it to make sure that she had what she needed for her estate. And she didn't really need all of that paper. I mean, she loaded her car full multiple times to go and get it all shredded. What a gift he had given her. And it's a good thing we went through all of that paperwork, because he had multiple investments, and there was a multiple six-figure investment that I found at the end of going through all of that paperwork that had not been found before, and an additional life insurance policy. So it is very important when your loved one gets hurt or injured or passes away that all of that paperwork gets gone through, because, you know, like even in my paperwork I found the other day, there were bonds that were given to our kids when they were born. Well, they've matured. They can be cash now. And you forget to cash those bonds that you buy that are like 5, 10, 20 year bonds that you buy when babies are born. It was really popular when I was a kid. And one of my aunts bought them for my kids when they were born. So those can be cash now. They're going to get them for their college. All of those files need to be gone through, because while 80 to 95% is shredding, the other 5% that's not is cold hard cash, baby. Or a really, really important document, or part of your family history. Like when I went through my dad's files, when I became the power of attorney and then the executor for his estate, there was a lot of neat historical information that were in those files that was actually from my mom's family. They had sold one of their farms to the state of Ohio to make the Ohio Turnpike that goes through northern Ohio. It goes right through one of our family farms. Just interesting information like that, that I actually now have in a binder, along with the information like my grandfather went to the Carrier School of Air Conditioning. And when he graduated, he was a silent generation baby. He got a job in Cleveland and eventually owned his own firm, and they put in the air conditioning in the terminal tower. So he designed and put in the air conditioning in the terminal tower, which is a big old building in Cleveland, one of the first ones that had air conditioning. That's just a cool fact about my family, and that information was also in some files. So last December, when my grandmother passed away and I drove right up to be with my mom, and you know, she had pretty much gone through the house. She knew what she was going to do with everything that was in there. She and her sister had everything handled for the funeral. They'd been planning that. And, like, they had everything handled. And I said, Mom, what can I do? And she looked at me and she said, please do the paper. Just go through the paper. But Grandma didn't have a lot of paper. I mean, she is very organized. She was German, English and German, very organized. But what she did have in files was important because she didn't keep junk. Like, everything in there was important. So we had to look at every single paper and every single file. So I started, my sister helped me, and my mom was there too, just like as if she was an organizing client. If I wasn't sure if it was important or not important, I would show it to my mom and have her give the final say. Now, in my grandmother's case, we were still able to shred about 70-80%, and about 20% was important, or important enough that my mom took it to her house to look over and get rid of in a less time-impressed fashion. So 20% went home to my mom's family, her home. Do you know the percentage of paper that typically goes home to a family after a loved one has passed or gotten ill and you have to sell the home? Here's what happens. Almost all the time. Mom falls, she's moved into a nursing home, she's not going to move back home again, or someone's passed away, and now it's time to sell the family home, which is a very daunting task. You could scroll back through and listen to the book review I did for downsizing the family home. There's a lot that happens when someone falls and has to move out of their home or they pass away. If they pass away, you have the added task of doing the funeral and all of the family coming in. But clearing out the family home, especially with the silent and the baby boomer generation, is a huge task because they did not move around like Gen X and the millennials are right now. They have lived in that house for 40, 50, 60 years. They've lived there. They got married, they lived there, they raised all of their kids, and they still live there. So everybody's stuff is still there. And you have to go through all of that memorabilia and everything, and you get worn out. And you know what happens? You're like, just box up all the paper and take it to my house. I'll deal with it later. And let me tell you when later is. Sometimes it's decades later. Sometimes what happens is grandma passes away and mom boxes up all that paper and moves it to her basement, but doesn't go through it. And then mom passes away. And now you have her paperwork and her mom's paperwork and her father's paperwork. There's a lot of paperwork in boxes in these houses that is not just the homeowner's paperwork. And if you don't deal with the paper, it's just going to get boxed up and moved to the next family. Because, number one, who has time? Who seriously has time to go in the basement and start going through boxes of paper, other people's paper, and 80% of it, I'm just telling you right now, is shreddable or more. But it's the time, and it's the emotion, and it's the fear. Do I need that? This client who we went through the 80 binders, I said, well, you're going to settle your estate, but you need this other piece of paper. And she's like, well, I don't have that piece of paper. And she said, would you mind talking to my attorney, my lawyer? I said, no, I don't mind talking to your lawyer. Well, he happened to come out to the house. Like, he's an attorney that makes house calls, apparently. So he came out, and it had been a year, and she hadn't settled the estate. And I said, well, she actually needs this extra paper. He goes, all right, fine. We'll get that paper. And I said, how do you know what paper people need when they're settling an estate? And he lost it. He goes, well, I don't. And he slammed the table. And she and I both looked at each other like, sorry. I know. I was just asking a question. And he was really frustrated. He said, you know, I don't know what paper she needs for her estate because I don't know what paper she has in her house. I was like, interesting. So I talked to another attorney, and I said, who was an estate attorney, and I said, hey, how do you know what papers people need to file for their estate? And he said, we don't. Like, whatever papers they bring us, that's what we know they need. And I'm like, oh my gosh. So if I had not gone through all of those files and all of those binders, that investment that she had that was multiple six figures just would have gotten lost, number one. And then there was something different that we needed this special piece of paper for. And that wouldn't have gotten done either. Wow. You got to go through this paper, people. You have got to go through this paper. Because if generations after you go through it, you know, 40 years later and find out there was an investment that you never transfer or whatever, oh my goodness, there is money in those boxes, but it is overwhelming. So I was like, okay, well, surely somebody is taking care of this problem. So I talked to a professional organization company that helps you when you're moving your people. You know, moving your parents into a retirement home, selling your house, whatever. They are going to help you clean out your house and sell anything that you want to sell. I said, oh, this is so awesome. The service you offer is so awesome. What do you do with the paper? And they said, what paper? I was like, you know, the paper. What paper? Like the paper in the filing cabinets, and you find it in cabinets. It's all over the house. There's paper all over the house. The people don't organize it. It's everywhere. And they said, oh, well, we don't do paper. I said, oh, okay, you do everything but paper? And they're like, yeah, we don't touch paper. Like, the family has to deal with the paper. And I realized the paper is not being dealt with. No, nobody's dealing with it. I think it's easy to box up and move to the next house, so we're not going to deal with it right now. Nobody's dealing with the paper. So I'm going to New York. Right now, I'm not going to New York. Right now, I'm going to go see a manufacturer about making the Sunday basket box. Ah, I'm so excited. I didn't scream at you, but I wanted to. But when you hear this, I will have also been to New York. And I'm going to New York to get a book deal. Why would I want to get a book deal if I can publish my own Amazon number one bestsellers? Well, I don't know. I just want to do this with a traditional publisher. And it's going to be the Sunday basket book. I've changed the title, but that's what it's going to be. So I've gotten my initial feedback back from the group that I'm going to meet with. And there'll be editors and things there. And they've taken a look at my short proposal. I haven't written my long proposal yet. And the feedback is, I said this was going to be a shorter book like the ADHD book because people don't want a really, really thick book about how to organize paper. So the feedback was, number one, are you sure you don't want this to be a thicker book? Because that would make it a more substantial book. Number two, we don't think it should just be about paper organizing. We can't believe how much paper people still have in their homes today. Wow, that's amazing. But we really think that you should maybe want to write your book about something else, like something else more big or important about organizing. And then the third thing was, if you want to write the book and it's going to be a smaller book, we think it should be a series of books like How to Declutter Your House and How to Live in a Smaller Home. And that's great feedback. It's really, really good feedback. And I am not listening to it at all. I know, terrible. I am paying a lot of money to go to New York to get the professional opinion of people. And I would love to hear what you guys think, but here's what I think. I know more about what's going on in your home than pretty much anyone else does. I have studied the American home my entire life. Like, I have observed how different generations use homes, how people in different size homes, how people in different economic status use homes. I understand how people use homes in a way that I don't think anybody else does. And because of that, and because I desire to help you make progress in getting your home organized just through this podcast, like, you literally could just listen to me in this podcast, because we're just sitting together here in the car. You're driving me to the airport, by the way. Did you forget? We're driving to the airport. And I'm just talking to you about my business right now. But I'm changing your mindset on how you organize your home. I know in my gut, this is the book that needs to be written that nobody's writing. Google it. Paper organization. You're not going to find anything on the web. Nobody is telling you how to organize your paper. Color code your files. Put them in binders. That's it. That is the sum total of paper organization information on the market. Not sufficient. This is not sufficient for the paper tsunami that is coming. The paper tsunami that is coming is your own paperwork, plus your parents' paperwork, plus your grandparents' paperwork. Furthermore, we are moving more and more. We are not staying in a home for, you know, 60 years, and we can have these deluxe filing cabinets of paper, all these little paper graveyards. That's what I call files. Little paper graveyards, and we go and sometimes exhume a body out of there. We don't need it anymore. What we need is to have everything, all the information that we need, digital and scanned. That's where we're going. That's where the end of this book will take you. It will start with the Sunday basket, and it will end up with all of your pertinent information in organized online digital scanning. No, we're not going to do it in a day. It's going to take a while to get through this book. C- kind of like, has anybody read any of Dave Ramsey's books, Financial Peace or The Total Money Makeover? I mean, I read that book. I'm still working on it. I think I'm on baby step number 3 or something. There's 6 baby steps. If I get to baby step number 6, does anybody get to baby step number 6? It takes forever to get to baby step number 6, but doesn't mean I'm not trying to get there. I'm trying to get there. And that's what I think we need. I think we need a roadmap of how can we tackle this paper? How can we go through a random box of paper and not be completely paralyzed, put the lid back on and put it back in the basement? The other thing that it really has me emboldened about wanting to really tackle this whole paper thing right now is all of the ridiculous amount of natural disasters that have hit North America in the last couple of months. I mean, how many hurricanes have we had? 4 now. One was only a category 1. But still, 4. 4 hurricanes? And 3 of them were category 4 or 5. And Puerto Rico, poor Puerto Rico, is not going to have electricity for I don't even know how long. I'm still obsessed about that one. And then the earthquakes in Mexico and these fires in California. Oh yeah, I rabbit trailed on that one night, a couple hours, figuring out where my friends' houses were and how close they were to the fire. And then watching, this is how crazy I get. I'm watching California local news on my phone in Ohio, trying to figure out where the fires are. In all of those situations, earthquakes, hurricanes, flooding, fires, people are literally running out of their house with their clothing on their back. They don't even have time to grab the important papers, let alone their Sunday basket or their filing cabinet. All that's gone. All of that is gone. All of that information is gone. It needs to be digitized and available on the cloud. It has to be, because you're never going to get it back again. Another friend whose family member has moved from Florida to Ohio, and they don't have their social security card. Like, there's an issue with their social security card. That stops everything. Like, if you have an issue with your social security card or you can't get your birth certificate, it is amazing how many basic things in the United States you cannot even do. And so some of this information, some of this stuff is super, super important that we have it and we have a backup and that our family members know how to get this information for us if, worst case scenario, they have to take care of us and we are sick or we have passed. Okay, I have rambled on long enough, don't you think? I'm almost to the airport. Oh my gosh, we're going to go see the manufacturer. Can you believe we're going to go see the manufacturer? I'm so excited. Try not to yell, also because it's 6 a.m. Well, that's okay. There are a lot of people out here. Do you know there are a lot of people on the road 5 to 6 a.m.? Could be because Cincinnati traffic is so bad. Oh my gosh. I think we're number 4 in the United States. At least we were at one point for terrible traffic. So this is what happens in Cincinnati if you work downtown, which clearly I don't. I work in my bedroom. But if you work downtown, you either get up and you go in super early and leave early. Like, you go in between 6 and 7 in the morning and you leave at like 2 or 3 in the afternoon. Or I don't think anybody goes in late because it's corporate headquarters. But they go in early and they leave early because you literally cannot drive down 71 and 75 between the hours of 7 and 9 and 4 and 6 in the afternoon. It's just gridlock. It's terrible. And if it rains, oh goodness gracious, just add an hour. This has been really fun talking to you. Now I'm just excited about being at the airport. Okay, I want you to go to organize365.com. I want you to take this paper survey because I want to know what's happening in your household with paper. What paper is in your household? And do you know where some of this other paper I'm wondering about is? Because this next book I want to write it for you with you in mind. And I want to know what are your paper struggles. Also, the Sunday Basket podcast is coming. It's going to be so fun. Don't worry. You'll hear about it again. You don't have to write it down. Ha! I would love for you to do a Sunday Basket virtual workshop with me. I'm going to stop doing the virtual workshops probably in early 2018 because we're getting a lot of Sunday Basket workshop licensees and they're able to do the workshops online and in person too. So if you've been thinking about, she keeps talking about this Sunday Basket workshop thing, maybe I'll do it. It's $30. I mail you slash pockets and a copy of my book, and then we get online and we do a 90-minute class. It's super, super fun. I want you to do it with me. And if you've been thinking, oh, you know, maybe I'll become a licensee. Like, that'd be kind of fun to do that and have paper workshops and help other people get their paper organized. As I've been talking, if you've been going, yes, that's, yes, why do they have boxes? I want to organize those boxes of paper. Then you, my friend, are a Sunday Basket Workshop licensee. And people need you. They need you desperately because they don't want to do their paper boxes by themselves. If you don't want to do your paper boxes by yourself, you don't have to. There are people who would love to go through your paper with you in a paper organizing workshop. Little Lisas all over the place. People just like me who get excited when you bring them their boxes of paperwork. I know you think I'm an anomaly and I'm the only one. I am not the only one. There are other people out there that really like organizing paper too. Stop sign. So if you've been thinking about being a licensee, I've changed it up a little bit. And it is no longer where you have to join, like registration opens and closes. Registration is open. Like if you want to be a licensee, you could go to organize365.com and click on the Work With Me tab and scroll down to the Become a Sunday Basket Workshop licensee and click on that and sign up. And I'm going to send you a package in the mail. And you are going to go through the licensing program and help everyone else get their paper organized. I would love for you to join me. I also will be having webinars once a month about the licensing program. So if you go to that page, you could sign up for a webinar where you can learn more and get your questions answered. I am super, super excited for 2018 and to be able to have two podcasts to talk to you about organizing your home and your productivity and also help you with this paper pile that we are shoving all over our house with papers crammed everywhere. It's time to pull them out, deal with them, get them organized, and ultimately get that information in a location where we can just access it whenever we need to. And boy, won't you feel boss when you can just get any paper someone needs immediately and give it to them. You guys have a great week.